I think it's always interesting when we have a gospel procession to that particular tune, whether the procession is going to be done skipping or not. You guys resisted the urge really well. It's a nice old tune. As we begin our, as we prepare to enter into our reflections on the gospel this morning, I want to, first of all, say Happy Mother's Day to all moms out there and to everybody who has a mom. Call mom today, if you can. And part of what we do today and every Sunday is we gather with the whole communion of saints at the altar. And for those of us whose mothers have gone into the near presence of our Lord, we call that reality to mind, that when we gather and share the Eucharist, all Christians, we're all together. And we can hold that in our minds this Mother's Day. We all give thanks for those who've nurtured us. Well, those men in the gospel story this morning, those men who confronted Jesus as he was taking his little walk in the portico of Solomon that winter morning, those men, they really just wanted to know. They just wanted a straight answer. So pleased, they said, Jesus, no more nice little stories about shepherds and sheep. No more mysterious sayings that we can't understand about bread from heaven. They said to him, we don't even want a flashy miracle or another healing. Just tell us. Just tell us, they said, are you the Messiah or not? If that's your claim, tell us, straight up, no chaser. And we will judge your claim from there. And of course, there's a problem here, because every one of those men that morning probably had their own idea of what a Messiah really should look like. And they all seem pretty certain that it's not like Jesus. Some hoped for a warrior. Some in the Jewish nation were looking for a new king like David and a whole new empire. Some probably there that morning, many out in the Jewish community wanted a new prophet, like the prophets of old. Some were looking for a new great high priest to restore temple worship to its glory days. And that's why Jesus refuses to play their game. That's why Jesus was always so careful about using words like Messiah and King. Because he knew. He knew whatever he said, he would be misunderstood. People would force him into their own concept of what those things should look like. And he knew his mission was so much more than people realized. He knew his mission was so much more than the military conquest of a great general, more than getting rid of the Romans, more than starting a new empire like David and Solomon had, more than restoring the glory days of temple worship. His mission was more than all of that. So what does he do? Well, in a move that I think seems to me like it was calculated just to annoy these guys, he tells them one more parable about shepherds and sheep. That must have kind of bugged them. But whatever he says, these guys probably won't listen. They'll judge by their own ideas, their own preconceived ideas, and that's the problem. Jesus never really had much time for this kind of thing because he had the Father's work to do. His solution to the problem was to start from the ground up. So he faithfully and obediently and steadfastly goes about the work his Father has given him to do, announcing the kingdom, giving people little glimpses of what the kingdom is like in his healings and in his teachings, embodying the kingdom in his love and his compassion. As he does this, he invites people to join him and to work with him. And some do. But they're kind of an unexpected bunch. They're not the experts with their own ideas of what a Messiah ought to look like. They're ordinary people, like fishermen and even tax collectors. Ordinary people who catch the vision, who can stop listening to their own voices long enough to learn to hear Jesus' voice, to learn to trust Jesus. They learn to love Jesus. They learn to follow Jesus, like sheep following a trustworthy shepherd. Now think about that a little bit, because that's our calling too. Sheep do not follow a shepherd because they have interviewed a whole lot of shepherds and they've decided on one who meets their exacting standards of good shepherdship. They follow because they hear his voice and they trust him. They trust him because they've come to realize he knows them better than they know themselves. He knows what they really need. He knows what will really bring them true life that is life. And so they follow. And there's the difference. The Pharisees want to know. The disciples realize it's far more important to be known. We might shake our heads at those men who interrupted Jesus' walk that day, but in our hearts we know we're a little bit like them. At least I am, and I don't think you're all that different from me, probably. We like being right. We like straight answers. We want more data before we make decisions. Sometimes we even have our own ideas of what a savior ought to look like. We like to know stuff, especially in our culture. But then we remember, knowing things is good. Being known, truly known, is better. The spiritual life isn't really about knowing a lot of stuff. It's about remembering we're known. And as humans, we long for this. It's innate in us. We search for it. We hold on to it when we find it. When my kids, Alex and Linnea, were younger, they swam for a local swim team. And their coach, Coach K, was the best mentor of young people I have ever seen in any field. Athletics, anything. Why? Because she knew her kids. There were over 100 kids on that team, and Kay knew each one of them by name, even when they were in the water wearing their goggles and caps, and even their own parents couldn't recognize them. She knew who each kid was, and she knew what each kid needed. She knew my daughter, Linnea, beneath her mellow exterior, was actually a fierce competitor That needed to be used and tamed. She also knew that Linnea really needed to concentrate on her backstroke flip turn. She knew my son Alex needed to dance around on the starting blocks, usually doing the Macarena, because that was his way of focusing on the race. She knew them. She knew what they needed, so her kids trusted her and they loved her, and they'd get up really early on cold mornings and jump into a swimming pool because she said so. Amazing. But we all need to be known, not just young swimmers, all of us. We need someone who knows us and accepts us, who embraces us as we really are, underneath what we present. And as Christians, we are here this morning because we've discovered that in Jesus. As Christians, we are here this morning and every Sunday morning, partly because we've come to know a few things about Jesus, sure, but mostly we're here because he knows us. Wherever you've been this week, whatever this week has been like for you, wherever you might be coming from today, wherever you might be on the crazy roller coaster of triumph and disaster that life seems to be like sometimes, Christ knows the true you. And he values it and loves it, and nothing will ever take it out of his hand. Christ knows the true you, even when you're neck deep in water, even wearing your swim cap and goggles. Christ truly knows you. He knows your true worth, even when you forget it yourself. He knows your worth, which goes beyond your accomplishments and isn't diminished by your failures. He knows you and me and each one of us by name. And he knows what we need and where we need to be better than we know ourselves. And so we come here. We set aside this time to listen to his voice. We want to hear that voice. We're here so that he can guide us. We can surrender. So that he can guide us through those dark valleys that we get ourselves into. Back to the still waters and the green pastures that he knows we need, but we really can't find on our own. We're here because it's Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus is the shepherd. And friends, that makes us sheep. So let's be good ones. We're here because we know Christ, and that's good. But really, we're here because Christ knows us. And that's even better. In Jesus' name, amen.